call the meeting to order.
Salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open the floor for public comment. Maxine?
Yes, good evening, everyone. I want to know if we have audio today.
Yes.
Thank you. I would just like to reiterate some of my concerns regarding the audit that is dated April of 2018 and highlight some of the issues that I mentioned last month. According to the audit, the key issue, the objective was to determine whether the board adopted budgets based on reasonable estimates. And the overall conclusion was that there was a fund balance that was, the appropriations exceeded expenditures by an annual average of over $118,000. And the basic recommendation was to formulate a plan of excess unrestricted fund balance in general in a manner that benefits village residents, for example, reducing property taxes when developing the budget, to develop and adopt a comprehensive multi-year plan. It also stated that in these three areas, refuse charges, street lighting and health insurance collectively were over budgeted by $137,000. So those are three specific areas that need to be tightened. And frankly, I don't see how refuse charges can be over budgeted when this happens. The budget for our trash is reviewed and discussed with the provider, how that can happen. The other thing that concerns me is that, according to the report, the practice of appropriating a fund balance, and not actually using it to finance operations caused the village fund balance to keep increasing. The mayor and two trustees told us that they did not know the amount of fund balance the village had. That concerns me considerably. And I don't see how one can be responsible for a budget and not know the extent to which things are being overfunded year after year. I'm reading from the audit from the Office of the State Controller.
Yep, we all have that.
Okay,
so thanks.
I'm reiterating, yes.
Thank you.
And lastly, my concern in increasing transparencies so these rather serious oversights do not continue to happen is certainly would be so that these do not continue to happen is to make sure we have our treasurer present. We as taxpayers and citizens expect that we have a five board trustees board, and we have our wonderful clerk, and we have a treasurer. And that's the default position in our guidelines as presented in the law, the state law. We also have a division of duties between the mayor, who often is and acts as the budget officer, and the treasurer, who is the chief fiscal officer. And the whole idea is that one person does not have control over everything. There is supposed to be a balance. And it also is a lot of responsibility. And that person who is co-responsible, which is our treasurer, needs to be transparent. She needs to be visible so that even if she says nothing but submits her report, she hears what we have to say. When the board agreed to her absence, that is taking away my right to have full transparency from our chief back and forth, from our chief financial officer. And that was a very poor bargain that was made, and I take great issue with that. And I expect that the board to address this by, one, making sure we have visibility and the appearance of our treasurer, and two, that the board adopt a measure so that we have regular audits. We shouldn't have to wait a quarter of a century between audits. I'm not going to be here that long. I don't know about all of you, but I would like to see an audit on a regular basis, whether it be yearly, every other year. There is a measure in the state guidelines that the board does allow for there an audit to be done on a regular basis when the general report is filed with the state. Whether that's from the controller's office or another entity that does the audit, I think this should be done on a regular basis. And the other thing is the treasurer's reports we never see. And I would like to get the treasurer reports. And I want to find out what this board is going to be doing to address these.
Write a request. You can write a request to the clerk. She'll get them for you.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Anybody else? John?
Yeah, I think you said, somebody said last meeting that we did not use all that extra money to pay off the water tank. Is it against the law to do that?
We cannot use money in the general fund to pay for the water tank. That's what we said. We can use the money in the water fund.
Is it against the law to pay that off?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And this year's budget that's over, we can't take that money and put it toward the water fund either.
We can put what's left. We could put what was over in the water fund to pay for that.
Okay.
But not in what's in the general fund.
Okay. But could we take for the next 5 years, not bill anybody for water because?
No. Because there's not that much money there.
I thought we had $500,000.
No. We don't.
Do we have over 100,000?
We do. And we'll discuss that later.
On the meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else? Sean?
This is my first measure if it's the appropriate time or not. I actually did want to discuss some of the new speed limit signage that's been installed around the village, particularly in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Is this the appropriate time to
Sure, bring it up? Yeah, you're open to discussion.
So, a couple of the residents in my neighborhood, I live over on Maple Ave, we noticed some new speed limit signage. It's always been common knowledge, we knew that the speed limit wasn't there, but it's a very kid-friendly neighborhood, and the new speed limit signs are reflecting for 30 miles an hour. Honestly, my son and several other kids of very young ages, we use the street to play, and I have a concern that those new speed limit signs are more going to encourage people who are driving already faster when we already have, you know, manageable problems with people driving kind of quick through that neighborhood anyway. I honestly would like, you know, something to either be done, whether speed limit be changed or signs be removed. Like they were never up there for 20 years that I've lived there.
Okay. We will take it under advisement, but thank you for your input. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Approve the minutes for the May 9th board meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Dave.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any questions on those minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Entertain a motion to approve the May 24th special meeting board minutes.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any question on those minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Entertain a motion to approve the May 30th year-end meeting board minutes.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any question on those minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, so we have the May Treasurer's Report. So this is the year-end report. So at the end of the year, we had a balance, an unexpended balance of $106,000 that was budgeted and not spent. $100,000 of that was planned for and carried over to the next year, to this year's budget. So last year's budget added $6,000 to the unfunded balance, or the fund balance. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the treasurer's report. The May one.
Make a motion.
Motion by Guy. Second by Randy. Any questions on that report? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next thing we have is this balance sheet report that was printed. This is the year end. This is a preliminary report. When the AUD is finalized, it will get a final report. So basically what this is telling us is how much cash that the village has on hand at the end of the year. So we currently have $359,863.56 in capital fund accounts. So this is money that's set aside for specific projects, and it's saving for the future. So that money is not available for anything except for the specific projects that they were put into. The other accounts we have are, let's see, on the third page, the trust and agency is just a payroll and retirement account, so that's a $5,700, but that gets moved out at the very shortly thereafter, so that's just a kind of like a snapshot at the time. But the general fund has a balance of $640,654.22. The $640,000 includes the $100,000 that was carried over from last year and put into this year's budget. So it should be similar to what was quoted in the controller's report of about $540,000 in fund balance. So at some point we're going to need to sit down and start talking about a fund balance policy and how much we want to keep this at, so that we can make the treasurer aware of where we want to be with this, and then she can help us get to that position. The water fund has a fund balance of $388,435.99. So we have that budget actually, if you look at your water fund budget, we actually went over last year and spent an additional like $16,000 on, I think it was, let me just check to be sure. Water fund. So we budgeted 286, so we went over by, let's see, this is appropriations and this is revenue. So Yeah, so we were over by $7,574.60. So we took a little less in than we anticipated, and we spent a few dollars more than we anticipated for a difference of $7,500, round numbers, leaving a fund balance of $388,435.99. And again, we need to determine what it is we want to have for a fund balance in the water fund. I'm sure we all remember what happened the year everything froze up and we ended up spending like $300,000 to keep the water system up and running through the winter. So, you know, I don't see where that is particularly high, but we can address that. We've also addressed in reducing that by reducing the bond payment by $20 per water billing, which will work to reduce this amount over a period of the water bond. So that should work, that should pay that down over that period of time. So that's the way we had decided to do that. So this, I think, is, I don't know, we need to accept this year-end report, you know? Because it isn't final yet, so.
No, I guess
not. So anyway, this is for information, I guess, so. Anybody have any questions on this? Any discussion on it at all, or?
Is it possible to get one of these updated every month?
Well, this is not going to change for a month. This is an annual report. So the fund balance is what you have left over at the end of your fiscal year. So now we have a budget. We're taking in taxes. We're expending monies. So we'll not have any additional fund balance to accumulate to this until May 31st of next year.
Right, but our cash position is going to be reduced. Every month we'll pay bills, so.
But there's also money coming in taxes. True. That we're collecting, so right. that part goes up.
Right. So, but it you know, one of the things that we've never seen before, and to Maxine's point, we've never seen our cash position ever until you know, on a regular basis.
Right. But this is monies that is outside of budget. So when you're talking about what goes on a month-to-month basis, that's within budget. So we're collecting taxes. And yeah, sure, it's going to look like you got, you know, $900,000 if we collect $300,000 in taxes. But it's not really reflective of your situation because you still only have $640,000 in fund balance and the rest is really budgeted money.
Right, but I think it would ease people's mind to see that, to see this more often. And it would also allow us, once we do start reducing that fund balance, to see, you know, where we are, so that when we have a policy that says we can keep 25% of a
right
thing,
but there won't be any adjustments to this report until next May.
Okay, but so then I would request at some point we have a regular.
Well, what you do is you add what you have here to this, and then you know what your cash position is.
I mean, I'm not the treasurer, so
no, I'm just saying
that would be part of what the treasurer does for us as a treasurer.
Right. If you're asking what your fund balance is, this is the fund balance. It only is addressed on an annual basis. It's what's left over from your budget.
Right. But I'm just saying, if we committed to a project to spend $60,000 out of the fund balance,
mm-hmm.
once that project has been completed, this will be reduced. And
right. If we make a decision to move money from fund balance into the budget,
right.
then this would change. Right. Or if we make a decision to move money from one of the capital funds into the budget, then this would change. But barring doing that, this doesn't change until May 31st till we figure out what we have left over or how much we're over or under from our budgeting process next year. But yes, I mean, if we decide that, you know, we're going to fund a project out of this, like say maybe we want to fund the building project out of fund balance, and we say, okay, we're going to move, you know, X amount of dollars from fund balance into the set up a capital account for doing the building project, then we could get an updated one of these, and it would tell us what that fund balance is as of that time.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, that wouldn't be a problem, but it wouldn't be, I'm just saying this wouldn't change, because fund balance is not gonna change until we determine what's left over from this year's budget.
Right.
So. Anything else on this? Okay. Any correspondence?
No.
No correspondence, okay. Water source protection. Andy.
I think we're done.
We're done.
We are close to being done. The plan that you all have that we printed out is as far as we know, the final plan, maybe with the exception of the three pipelines. And the plan summarizes the presentation that Steve Winkley provided all of you about, what, March?
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten, March or April meeting. And so there are no surprises. What we have here is what he presented. There were no additions since then. You have now most of the water committee here, Randy, Tom Snow, and myself. And Jay Devlin is not here, who was a member, and Steve Winkley worked for New York State Rural Water Association. He was a geologist, and really, he was the principal author of this plan. Under the comments and guidance of the committee and you folks. So we're here to answer questions and find out what we need to do for plan adoption. What are the next steps? Or do you want more work on the plan?
Well, I think that you all did an excellent job. I know that the provisions that you requested were the site protection around the wells, suggested some areas that we, you know, and I'm going to lose my terminology here because I'm not that familiar with it, but designating areas for of concern and incorporating that into the zoning. So I think that, you know, it's opportune because we're reviewing all the zoning ordinances currently right now. And I think we're going to be, you know, we're going to look at that and do that. We also, we haven't really talked about purchasing any additional properties around the wellheads, but, and I'm not sure where that's going to go just yet, but certainly it's nice that we were, you know, informed and made aware of some things that may be available to us in that area. There are some...
Mayor, if you are interested in doing that, there is funding.
There's funding for that, I read, yeah.
The deadline for that funding is July 27th through the consolidated funding application. So I believe there'll be money next year as well,
mm-hmm.
but you never, you know, a bird in the hand is more than two of the bush. You don't have to have anything committed. You basically submit the request, and there's a process associated with it. So if there is interest amongst the board to do that, you got to get your hat in the game to be in the game, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So with that deadline coming up, I just want to let folks know that, you know, July's coming around pretty quick.
Right. Well, maybe we can take a look at that over the next board meeting, and we can adopt a resolution at the July meeting, because that'll be early in the month.
Okay.
And then we can work on getting the paperwork filled out ahead of time.
It's pretty straightforward.
You've got some other changes that you propose here. So, for instance, on page 18, they talk about doing an anti-litter law, and there's some other resolutions that they put in here. So. I mean, we can adopt this plan, but if we're going to change, put in an anti-littering law or do these resolutions, mm-hmm. we have to figure out which ones we're going to do. They've made it very easy for us because they've given all the language we could use or need. So
mm-hmm.
I guess we just need to make some sort of decision about which pieces of these we're really going to enact, and then we can put it on our agenda.
Once you have the plan adopted and approved, then you can work on the parts and decide what parts you would like to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's your pleasure.
Yeah, I don't think adopting the plan would obligate you to do any of the, you know, require you to do any of the recommendations in there. I think those are just included, as you said, Dave, for convenience purposes to make, you know, if you were interested to move it along, it would be, you already have something that you can reference,
mm-hmm.
to make it easy on everybody, or to make the process as easy and more painless as possible.
Has anybody talked to Scott about what's happening in the water?
Yes, I talked to him earlier.
Is that feasible?
Well, we'll get into that. That's part of this plan also. That's actually a recommendation.
That's one of the things was about.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of things.
So,
that
we go ahead.
Suggested included the education and outreach, where we distribute brochures about septic tank maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an example that Steve put together in this plan. Also, he suggested, and we thought it was a good idea, to alert people to the potential dangers of heating oil storage close to the wellheads and tank maintenance issues. And mm-hmm. there's a, I guess they are developing a brochure that they can use statewide. And, when that becomes available, that would be a good thing to distribute also. And definitely, we need to notify the towns of Nassau and Scotia that a good part of the water protection area for our drinking water lies in Scodek and Nassau. And
mm-hmm.
at least they should be aware of the activities in their town that affects our drinking water.
Right. And I will point out that they were invited to participate in this project.
Yes.
They must have gotten their dates confused. Cause they
yeah, I understand.
Nobody participated.
And then the only other was the critical environmental area designation in the two zones close to the well that are directly involved in producing water for the well.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to do an overlay map in the zoning for that.
Okay.
We talked about that last night.
The rest of the recommendations are minor, but still, in total, I think they at least get us headed in the right direction.
I agree.
So Andy, I just want to thank you and the rest of your group, Randy as well. And I want to thank you for pointing this out to us last year or the year before, that we had intended to do one of these plans 20 years ago and never got around to it. And it was your good catch when we were doing the master plan. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you for the work. I think we should adopt this plan. It's very well done, it's very comprehensive, and it can only help the village. Even just having it on the books, if we're not the board that does it, maybe the next group can put the whole thing together. But I think this, our obligation is certainly to pass this and adopt it as a guidance for the boards going forward.
Yeah, I want to thank you as well. Great work, guys.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the water source protection plan.
Second.
Motion by Randy,
second
by Guy. Any questions on this?
My only question would be, should we move forward with public hearings in that process, or can we just adopt the plan?
Well, adopting the plan doesn't mean we've enacted any of these resolutions.
Or right, and they will all require public hearings.
Great.
When we do them.
But you got to notice them separately.
They've yeah.
laid it out here pretty clearly.
So. Any other questions?
No.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you again for your hard work and diligence. Rich, New York State Department of Healthy and Neighborhoods.
Yes. So thank you. Just for formalities, for those that don't know, Rich Elder, I'm with the Rensselaer County Department of Health and represent our Healthy Neighborhoods program. With me, I have Nancy Lerner from Albany County Cornell Cooperative Extension, and we've partnered with them with this program, and I wanted to come in front of the board because we recently renewed our grant with the state for this program, and part of that renewal process was including three villages to our grant. Currently, the grant was operating in the city of Troy and the city of Rensselaer, and the state has approved the three villages being Nassau, Castleton, and Hoosick Falls. And so I wanted to come to the board to present the program to the board to let you know what the program is, what we're doing, and that you'll be seeing us out in the community and hopefully partnering with the outreach. The Healthy Neighborhoods program that we run is funded by New York State Department of Health. It's, in my opinion, a fantastic program because it is non-regulatory, meaning part of the intent, we partnered with Albany County Cornell Cooperative Extension, is this is not health department coming into people's homes. This is educators coming in voluntarily at the request of the tenant, the homeowner, the property, the occupant. And the goal of the program is when they come into the home, it's to do a healthy and safe home assessment. So they look at things like fire safety. Do you have smoke alarms? Do you have smoke detectors? Do you have carbon monoxide detectors? Do you have a fire extinguisher? Do you know how to use your fire extinguisher? Safety components, fall prevention, injury prevention, child protection. Do you have cabinet locks where you might be storing chemicals for small children? The doorknob handles so that children can't get in areas where they can be. Things like that. So they provide, and the program not only identifies these weaknesses and provides education, but we provide supplies. And Nancy has, and I'll give to the clerk for Melissa to hand out, but I've got copies of the flyers, and it does list different supplies that we offer. Again, 100% voluntary. We come in, we do the assessment, we provide the homeowner education, how to properly clean, we provide cleaning supplies, we talk about all of these topics, and based on the assessment and what their needs are, we'll provide them various equipment. And Nancy can speak roughly how much do we set aside for supplies. A little over $50,000 worth of supplies that we provide through this grant each year. So it's fairly significant that we do, and hopefully people take advantage of it and they change their lifestyles, or hopefully are educated about a lifestyle and make it a healthier and safer lifestyle. So that's really what the program is. Again, 100% non-regulatory, with the only catch, the only time there's any regulatory involvement is if the educators are in a home and they identify imminent life safety hazards. What they'll do is they'll document those hazards, they'll send them to me, and then I'll reach out to the local code officer, make them aware of the conditions so that the local code can follow up on that. But other than that, you know, we deal with people that they have a lifestyle and that's the way they want to live, and we can provide education to show why or make it healthier, but if they choose to stay that way, then so be it. But hopefully we provide the tools and education to the residents to make healthy choices. So that's the program. Nancy's got some flyers for you guys. You'll be seeing our educators out in the village. The one thing we are asking is if you have like a village calendar or if you have events going on, a lot of times our educators like to try to get to those events and table. They'll be coming to like the library, they'll be coming out to the community anyway, but if you have events that are going to bring people in, and if we know about it ahead of time, we'll make sure we can get an educator there to hit the masses. Other than that, if the board has any questions for us about the program.
But the $50,000, is that per village? Is that for the three villages?
No, that's the grant overall.
Okay.
So it goes to two cities too, right?
Two cities
are still on, yeah.
Three, but then still
for supplies,
it can
go a lot of way, right?
If we go into a home and there are no working smoke detectors, we don't say, oh, let's check our budget. We provide the necessary, the required smoke detectors.
And Nancy's team with the smoke detectors has a second funding source where if it's necessary, they can actually install smoke detectors. So if they go in a home, let's say it's an elderly person, they can actually not only provide the smoke detectors for free, but install them for them.
Okay, great.
So we have another program that piggybacks on this.
So is it income
That was going to be my line. Totally free.
Everyone, I think you said it's totally free,
and there's no income eligibility.
It's open to tenants. It's open to landlords. It's open to anybody. Because it's really, it's not about the condition of your home as much as it is educating you to the environment that you're living in. And, you know, as even as a tenant, there are certain things you can do within your domicile to make it healthier and safer.
Currently, we provide, there's a 10-year lithium sealed battery, a smoke detector that is, that really should be in every home, at least one of them. If you have the old ones, the batteries that come out, we will replace it with the new smoke detectors.
Those batteries don't come out?
No.
They do not come out. I'll be very honest. Most people don't like them as much.
You can't put them in their toys.
Exactly. And, you know, you're cooking something and the smoke detector goes off. You reach up. You want to reach up and pull it out. It's not going to come out. You have to smash the whole thing.
The other part of this program works with other grants that we have. So Healthy Neighborhoods is really the base of our Healthy Homes programs. So off of that, we have a asthma-based program. So if we are in a home and there's an asthmatic, at the health department, we have an asthma educator who then would get notified if the occupant wants that. And then that person can work with the occupant, understanding what the potential asthma triggers are in the home based off the home assessment, and start working with that asthmatic to try to reduce the number of emergency room visits, the reliance on urgent care, and being able to do self-management of their condition. So that program fits in there along with a radon program. So we'll provide free radon testing in homes. Unfortunately, we don't have any money right now for mitigation, but at least we can provide you the education of what the radon level is in your home and what that means. So that's our program.
Okay, great.
Does it include black mold?
If we identify mold, we do have an indoor air part of it. Can we remediate it? We can provide education about how to take care of mold and other indoor air issues.
We're working on funding.
Cool.
We're finding molding.
All right, so we have some resources for you guys. And again, thank you, board. We'll probably be out here in the next week or two. I know Nancy's team is excited to get out into the new territory.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank
you. It's wonderful. It helps bring a lot of people out.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, report of committees, Highway Department.
The report that I got from Jay and Peter for the month of May, they continued to pick up some leaves, clean the village square up for Memorial Day, continue to mow the grass. They remeasured the sidewalks, hopefully for the upcoming repair replacement for the three areas that were put out to bid. They repaired the picnic tables. They cleaned the catch basins with Canada sweepers. Continued to patch some potholes. Repaired the catch basin at Malden Street and Route 203. Replaced the catch basin on Kathleen Way. Prepared for new benches by the pond. Installed speed limit signs on West Park Drive. And put up some parking signs. And I'll let Randy get into, they're in the process of draining the pond. I also have to contact Jay and Peter tomorrow to get in contact with the state, especially to start repairing, I call it the four corners out on the main drag where the main street light is, or traffic light is. So there's other areas that border the village streets that I've talked to Jay about that are on the order for the state to repair rather than the village. That's ongoing. Let me see, was there anything? And I got a, I'll bring that up later as far as an engineering group for the sidewalks. That should be it.
Okay. Water Department.
Well, the average daily use is 102,000 gallons of water a day. There was two coliform tests performed and all came back negative. We placed a shutoff and copper line back to the main 12 Church Street that was put out for bid for Cronow. Construction did that, the job is all complete. The electronic arm on the chart recorder at the pump house was replaced. All the routine samples were done. Helped the resident homeowner locate their shutoff on 137 Chatham Street. Both generators were serviced, one at the pump house and at the holding tank. We had a pre-construction meeting with Keller Construction about the upcoming valve replacement job in the village. When that starts to, it's going to be started after school closes to avoid any problems with the students in the school and any water shutdowns. But when the valve replacement project gets started, the village residents will be notified what valves will be in their where they live that are going to be replaced, and so there's no surprises. We don't want anybody to say, hey, I'm going to lose water. You might lose water pressure or lower water pressure. We're going to try to notify everybody in the area that's affected. We don't plan on any boil water advisories at this time, but we never know what we're going to find when we dig. So we're hoping to coordinate with Keller. We met with them, kind of pointing out what valves need to be done during the time period that the school is closed and what can be done after that. So there's going to be a time schedule, so we should know in advance. But everybody will be notified in the area, and I think we're going to be putting it on the website too. And this was all in part by the grant that we got, right?
Right. Well, the grant will cover $150,000 of the project.
And the rest of the project will be coming out of our...
out of the water budget.
Out of the water budget. So the job is paid for. There's not going to be any surprises either. So, but that's coming up after school. I think school gets over the 23rd.
Next Thursday.
So they could start anytime after that. So,
but we'll let everybody know. And then Jay also turned some water off at 5 Maple Ave. House, they emptied, it was leaking. Charlie mentioned the pond. The pond was drained down. The pond is going to be treated with a herbicide and algicide that doesn't require any state permits. The first treatment is going to be tomorrow night. The reason why the pond is a little bit too low is that the board in front of the pipe was totally rotted, so we're going to revamp that situation too. But the water will be treated tomorrow. There'll be some signs that it was treated. And then Jay and Pete are going to fix the spillway. And then every month for the next 3 months after this month, there'll be a treatment to the pond. Okay. To try to make the pond look like a pond, instead of having a pond that you can almost walk across. So that's the reason why right now this is that the pond's lowered.
Which chemical is being used?
I don't have the sheet right now.
Are you sure it doesn't require these?
Yep. It was all checked. All of,
so you take that pretty serious?
Yeah, now it was all checked by the company doing it.
I'll send it to you tomorrow, Tom. Okay. I have it on computer.
Send it to my work email.
Yeah, I just want to point out the, prior to, we're going to be sending out a letter. We should send it out probably in the next week or two that this project is going to happen. The notification to the residents of what's going on is going to be that we're going to send a letter out and tell folks that this is going to be going on over the summer. And that if you want to be informed as to when valves and shutoffs may occur in your neighborhood, then you should sign up on our website so that you can get get notified. Because what we intend to do is when Keller decides that they're going to replace the valve in this area, and we will be able to determine what homes are going to be affected by that, we will send out an email blast. It'll go village-wide, so everybody will know about it. But we will send out an email blast as to who can expect to have interruptions in their water service for that particular day that this is going to do. We expect that they will be able to dig up, replace the valve, get the water back on, and get the hole filled back in one working day. So it's not going to be an overnight thing or anything like that. But during the course of that day, while we're changing out the valve, there's going to be a number of homes that are not going to have water while that happens. So we want to make sure that, you know, nobody's doing laundry when that goes on and, you know, as best we can. You know, but we don't have the manpower to go around and knock on everybody's door. So we're going to send out a letter notifying all the village residents that this is going on. We'll post things around the village. But the bottom line is going to be, if you want to be notified, sign up for the email blast on the village website. That's going to be how you're going to be notified when things are happening.
How many valves have replaced them overall?
10 or 12.
I think there's 12.
12.
12 valves.
Charlie got two valves in the center of the village at the traffic light are going to be replaced, so that area is going to be kind of tore up. You know.
And there's some down by Phillips too.
So the cross valve. So there's, you know, right on 20. So that area where you were talking about the state, some of that will be kind of.
Yeah, so we want to coordinate all that. Don't let them pave it and have to go dig it up again.
Yeah.
So, oh, no. Yeah. I'll wait. Yeah, I'll wait till after.
Blake didn't like that last time.
So improvements are being made. Just got to kind of just bear. We got to do it. You know? I got to change these 50-year-old valves or whatever.
Are they going to be moved out of the highway so the traffic ain't riding over them?
No, because the main's still in the highway.
The main's still on the highway. Got to have the valves on the main.
So, all right, police report.
Officer Jones filed a written report for you. It's on, should be in your packets for May. During the month, we had 3 arrests, 30 incidents were logged, 115 traffic tickets were issued, 29 of those were for speeding, including one for speed exceeding 20 miles over a speed limit. It's actually pretty good. Usually there's 4 or 5 of those. Maybe people are using some common sense. Average speed over the speed limit for a ticket was 15.2 miles per hour. There were 13 tickets written for operating a motor vehicle while using an electronic device or a mobile phone without a hands-free device. We had 6 tickets for running stop sign, 6 for driving without a license or suspended license, and 1 ticket written for seatbelt violation. There were 2 impaired driving arrests, and both of these were Leandra's Law violations. That's having a blood alcohol level above the legal limit with minors in the vehicle. In one case, there were two children in the vehicle, ages 8 and 11. In the other case, there was a 9-year-old child that was unrestrained in the vehicle. That's what we're dealing with. The department also responded to a number of dog complaints. We've had a rash of shots fired complaints and the like. We've also been, as usual, assisting other departments in EMS calls. The department provided traffic control at the Memorial Day Parade, and the details of all the activity is in the report. Unit 602, the 2016 Ford Interceptor Explorer, has approximately 22,500 miles on it. 603, the 2011 Ford Crown Victoria, has 47,300 miles on it. Just one incident of note, one additional incident of note, May 26th, a Saturday night, a man was arrested on 2 counts of criminal possession of a controlled substance after a traffic stop. The perpetrator was a driver of a vehicle stopped for speeding on Church Street. Upon further investigation, was found to be in possession of concentrated cannabis. I've described this before. It's a potent form of marijuana, becoming more popular. And it's one of the common ways of using this drug is through e-cigarettes or vaporizer machines that are becoming even more popular these days. as well as having a prescription controlled substance without the proper prescription. That's it.
Dave Grunberg.
Nothing to add.
First, I have a question.
Yep.
For Tom. Tom, when an officer stops someone and they issue a ticket, how long does it take to issue the ticket?
It depends whether, you know, whether the license information comes back or, on the computer, and it also depends on what kind of radio traffic is going on with the county. But anywhere from 5-15 minutes.
Because I see here on some of these sheets here, the case numbers, mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention the officer's name, but, you know, and I'm just picking out at a certain date that, you know, somebody was stopped at 1641, 1751, and then it goes to 2003, and it just seems like, is this real time that the officers stopped this individual?
What do you mean real time?
Well, you got date, you got time, you got the officer's name, the badge number,
yeah.
Case number.
Those are dates and times that the ticket was issued.
So within a couple of minutes, with two different case numbers, it looks like.
Well, so that one that you said that are both on 1751, that person got two tickets. It's the same stop, two tickets.
Well, there was. Well, you got one here at 1628, mm-hmm. was 1628, and then you got the same thing at 1751. Same officer, but different case numbers.
Right.
So, how does that work?
What was the ticket for?
1620. It must be tinted windows, side wings,
okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then 1751, same thing. But there's two different times, two different case numbers.
Right, two different cars, two different drivers.
Okay. It just seems, you know, when you look at the times per the officer, and that's the reason why I asked how long does it take to stop someone, get the information, put it in the computer. It just seems like it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's quick. I mean, you've ridden around with me before. I mean, I'm pretty quick on the computer. It depends on, who is issuing it. Like I said, whether the information comes back right away or what do they call out.
Okay.
So, Charlie, I just have, is the question, that I guess I don't understand the question. So,
well, if you look at,
tell me what page you're on. Just tell me what page.
Regardless what the pages are, and yeah. I'm not going to announce the officer. It's just that
right.
when you look at some of these times, you know, it's really close based on the date. It's for me. I don't know how you can stop someone, get out of the car, issue a citation or let the person know the infraction, go back to the, get the information, go back into the car, put it into the computer, and then all of a sudden, you know, another one pops right up within minutes of another infraction. I mean, you're shaking your head.
It happens quite a bit, actually.
So, what does that tell me? That there's so many people out there that, you know, once the guy gets done with this person, he just jumps right back in the car and he immediately stops somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then there's times where there's a couple hours in between, so I guess
that's
I don't...
That's not my guy.
I guess I don't understand.
Guys, I understand that there's a couple hours between infractions.
What would be the minimum? I guess what would be the minimum?
It's not a question of
What would be the minimum? So would five minutes be enough, or two minutes be enough?
Excuse me, I got the point of order. All I asked was what the length of time was. That's all. I'm not trying to infer anything. Nothing else. I just look at times.
If you want to review those two specific ones to see what the specific situation was.
I just wanted an explanation.
I don't know.
It's not.
The answer was 5 to 15 minutes per to do a citation.
You answered your question.
Okay. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. No problem.
All right, Randy, you're up.
Nothing.
Nothing new. Got it covered at all.
Yeah.
Okay, Guy.
Okay, sorry I wasn't here last month, but I do want to report on my attendance at the NICOM meeting because it has, I think, significant implications for some of the stuff that we do going forward. So, as I mentioned in the April meeting, I was going to attend the annual NICOM training for public officials. And I attended each of the 3 days of the meeting, and I went to sessions on New York energy and environmental policy, common municipal budgeting and audit issues and resolutions to those, which was very apropos given our recent audit, basic municipal procurement rules, best practices in dealing with harassment and discrimination, open meetings law and the FOIL policies, strategies to enact policy agendas at the local level, and also an informational session on the New York Municipal Energy Program, Community Choice Aggregation. I learned a lot in it, and I got refreshed on a lot of information I had been previously exposed to. As a result of what I learned at the meeting, I wanted to follow up on several items. The first is the New York Municipal Energy Program, NYMEP. This is, I reported probably last year, this new option that we have about aggregating our buying power for energy at the individual resident level or property owner level, which is new for New York but not new for other places around the country. Basically, all the residents in a municipality can join as a collective and purchase energy on the market, and if you get a better price, the larger the group is, you know, one municipality might not have a lot of buying power, but multiple municipalities would. And there is now a, as I said, the New York Municipal Energy Program, which is it's a joint venture between NICOM, so this is legitimate, this isn't some fly-by-night organization, NICOM and Good Energy, which is one of the authorized groups that can do this in New York State. And they've had experiences in other states, most explicitly or most recently in Illinois. And so they're offering to do this, to work with municipalities to sign up residents to join into the aggregation to buy power at a lower rate. This is different than the individual. You can do this individually through an ESCO. You get a couple cents off anything. But they're talking about savings as high as 25%. So I have some materials that I can send you guys. I didn't have them. I couldn't print them out because there's just a lot and I didn't want to waste all the paper. So I can send you some of this. But I would like to have the folks from NYMEP come here and talk to us to describe the program in much better ways than I can. And one of the things that they did talk about when they're willing to come, but they also want to allow other communities to come too. So maybe we don't do it during a board meeting. We do it like at a different time so that we can, you know, and maybe not here, maybe in a place that's more conducive to having a large crowd, to get folks informed and to see if there's interest in doing this. Now, this is one of the ways that, you know, we can only do so much to help people save money. We can lower taxes, that saves people money. But this is money that you could save every month in your energy bills. And I think, and it doesn't take much for us to do. I mean, it's really just a resolution and doing some outreach to the public. So I think this is something that we'd like to, at least I think we should go forward with. Again, we're not obligated if they come and talk and get people information. So that's one thing. The second thing I'd like to talk about is our meeting procedures. And this is as a result of my refresher course on state's open meeting law. The session that I attended by Bob Freeman, if you know Bob, you know he's a rather engaging speaker and really has a wealth of information, wealth of experience. He's been in the same position, he said, for 37 years working at the Committee for Open Government. And if you ever have a chance to see Bob speak, he spoke a couple years ago in Skodak, it's really worth it. Anyway, several ways we are currently running our meetings that are out of compliance with state law, and I think we should fix that. The first is the timeliness of our meeting minutes being made available to the public. Article 7, Section 106 of the Public Officers Law states that minutes from any public meeting need to be made available within 2 weeks of the date of that meeting. So that would mean they have to be available to the public two Wednesdays after, or the second Wednesday after our normal board meeting. And currently they're not available.
Well, how can that be when you don't even approve them until the following meeting?
Right. So there is nothing in state law that requires minutes to be approved. We can, if we'd like, to put a preliminary draft on the minutes, and so that if we do have any corrections, we can make those, and when they're corrected, we can put out the corrected ones. But state law says we have to do this within 2 weeks, and we've never done it. I mean, it's never been, we've never done it. It's not like it's new. This isn't a new thing. It's just never been done. So that's one thing that can happen. The second is Article 7, Section 105 of Public Officers Law lists the acceptable reasons for going into executive session. And I don't think we always comply with those reasons. And actually, these I have copies for everybody. I think we should. If we're going to go into executive session, we should do it the right way. We should take the time before entering into executive session to make sure that we're doing it appropriately and that the reason is clearly stated in the motion to go into executive session. The list of acceptable reasons you have in front of you. And again, this is, you know, you can find this information on the internet. It's not that hard. Article 7, Section 105 of the Public Officers Law. Personnel issues is not one of the reasons to go into executive. It's not acceptable. That's not specific enough. You have to talk about, be more specific than that. So there's a list of the eight, and I think if we need a cheat sheet to have up here to make sure that we're doing it right, then let's get a cheat sheet so that we know we're doing it the right way. I know that we can do better, and we should. And the other issue that's been brought to my attention a couple times recently, especially probably most recently in the budget, when we're doing our budget, is making the meeting materials available prior to the meetings. And I'd like to advocate for doing this, and I accept that the full agenda may not be known until right before the meeting. Oftentimes, we don't get it really done until 2 or 3 o'clock. That's missy, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the meeting time. But there are certain things that are available in advance. My guess is the monthly reports from the departments are available.
Sometimes the day of.
But there, yeah, and I will freely admit that I am a guilty party as the rest. But we could do better, and we can make people more aware of what's going on before meetings happen instead of after, so that maybe people can come to the meetings and, you know, participate. It would add to the transparency. We've already talked about transparency this meeting. I think adding to the transparency, getting more people involved and participating in our government are all desirable things. So I would just encourage us to try to do that. The other thing revolves around the treasurer's report, and I already made the request about having a more frequent figure for those. But the other thing is, I would just like to advocate for, as soon as possible, getting a policy in place. Thinking about a policy in terms of the amount of
fund balance
that we want to have, and you know, and how we deal with it when it's over that amount. You know, what are the steps we take? How much time do we have to bring it down to the appropriate level? What are the types of things that we are available to do it and like that? And I mean, I think we should just add it to the next meeting. It's just, let's start talking about it. The quicker we start, the more likely we'll be, or the quicker we'll get it done, and we'll be in compliance with the audit. Because eventually, sometime the state's going to come back to us and say, "Hey, what'd you do?" Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in a place that we says we didn't do anything, or we haven't done it for a while. So those are those three things. The other thing I want to talk about is more recent activity, sort of in the last couple weeks, related to some grant funding that's available. And this has to do with an initiative that is derived right out of the master plan. It's the project to reconfigure the Route 20 and 203 intersection at the light, as well as repair and replace sidewalks, do curbing, do street lighting, all in that section of Route 20, the general business district. An announcement was made toward the end of last month that federal monies are available through the Transportation Alternatives Program and the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Program for projects just like ours. There are $100 million available for New York projects. The grants can range from $250,000 up into $5 million per project. There's a 20% match, so it's not free money. We'd have to be able to put up 20% of whatever the cost of the project is. But we do have a sizable amount of unrestricted fund balance to work with, so maybe this is a good way to spend it. And we've, over the past couple of years, you know, talking to engineers and as well as other knowledgeable folks, the project would likely cost over $1 million to do. So it's certainly not anything we're going to ever do on our own. We're going to need to get grant money to do it. And this seems to fit well in that. I've been working with a consultant pro bono on a grant pre-application and is due on June 28th, the pre-application, with the full application coming later August 16th, and that's where we'd have to do a resolution if we want to actually do this. Mm-hmm. But the pre-application we can get done without a problem by June 28th with the help of this consultant who's willing to work with us for nothing. I just want to report on that. I will let you know as I fill in more of the pre-application pieces where I am, but I fully intend to have that done on the 28th and submitted for the pre-application. It's a requirement. There's actually a required meeting on Monday, this coming Monday, that I'll be attending to. It's a webinar, so hopefully I can do it from my office at work because I'm going out of town after that, so I don't really have a lot of time to run around. So anyway, I just want to let you all know that, and appreciate you listening.
I got a quick question. This is for the triangle, right? So that we one way down Malden expand the parking area.
Yeah, that's
some grasslands in between.
And then the sidewalks, curbing, lights.
Okay.
All streetscape stuff.
Sounds good. I'm 100% on board with that. Fantastic. Thanks, guy.
Yep.
Dave. Gotcha.
I just want to, you know, thank the guys who came here regarding, you know, safety and water, you know, supply for our village. And Sean as well made up a good point. It is a really slow area, and there are a lot of kids playing, maybe those signs. So what I suggest with that is keep an eye out, you know, feel it out. And if there is issues, let me know. If you can't come to the meeting, you know, I'll speak on your behalf and keep an eye out as well on that end. Rich, Tom, Andy, thank you guys very much for all of your work as well. That's it.
All right, so over the last month, well, first of all, I want to thank everybody who participated in Memorial Day Parade. As always, it was a great event. Ceremony up at the the VFW is always interesting and pretty good. I mean, it's it really, you know, moves you to be there to honor our veterans. I've been meeting with the zoning committee. We've been doing a lot of emailing back and forth. We had a 3-hour meeting last night going through the zoning ordinances, and we're about a third of the way through with those. We have a couple of more scheduled coming up, and we're progressing on that. Once we get that together, we will present it to the board for a review and input, then we'll go to public hearings and notification of towns and the seeker stuff and all that other stuff that we need to do as part of that. So hopefully sometime by the end of the summer, we should be pretty close to being done with that, I would think. We've also been filling out tons of insurance forms for our insurance people. It's like they got a new form every week, but we're working on that, so hopefully things are starting to fall in place and they'll reinsure us or give us a quote for the next period. So that's pretty much what I've been doing over the last month. Missy?
Well, I just want to remind everyone of Village Cleanup Day this weekend from 9 to noon, electronics and recycling day.
No paints.
Huh?
No paints.
No hazardous waste materials, and you don't need to sign up ahead of time.
What's the date, miss?
Saturday.
16th.
Okay.
I'll also need some help from the board.
I'll be there.
Tell me who's coming.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Code enforcement.
All right, we put out an ad for a code enforcement, or we're going to put out an ad for a code enforcement officer. Speaking with Bob. In the meantime, we have three orders to Remy that were submitted out. One for 2 Albany Ave for the old gas pump accumulation of rubbish. 18 Phillips Street, there were debris, garbage, and there's a cat issue, which has been ongoing. We've been over there several times. Unfortunately, it's bank owned and it's a squatter living there, and it's been very difficult to get him to comply. And then we have 118 Chatham Street. We have a broken down trailer and garbage. They have an order to remedy. They have 1 week to resolve the issues. On top of that, I want to thank the police department for taking, I actually made a suggestion, in the midst of it, to have the police department do an assessment, and they actually did a ride-by throughout the village, and we have a list of other issues that Kevin has also seen as well and will be addressing this month. So it's very helpful, since we are still in limbo on, having the code enforcement officer, that they helped us out with that.
I couldn't believe how many unregistered cars we have. I couldn't believe it.
Now, I do have a question, though. Regarding, stuff in backyards, are we allowed to have stuff in backyards if it's not seen? I mean, because there are
one unregistered vehicle per property, and it has to be covered.
There's only one.
Okay, and within the backyard, I mean,
if it's visible from the street.
It's visible, okay. All right.
I mean, then nobody.
Just because I got questions. That's
nobody
all.
Went in anybody's backyard. No, it's all visible from the street.
That's fine, because people did ask me questions. I just wanted to reiterate, so. When are we looking for that, Bob? You thinking as far as?
Well, we're gonna.
I'm waiting for civil service to send me over the qualifications per civil service guidelines.
Okay.
And as soon as I get it, then Bob will review it and we'll put it in the paper.
Right.
But right now, we don't have the qualifications that they.
Yeah, I drew up a list of what the duties were going to be. All
right.
Not the qualifications.
Right. So then we'll, as soon as we get the resumes, we'll take a look at them.
Okay. Animal control, we'll go right on to that. Same thing, 18 Phillips Street, I guess they got a cat issue in a trailer, so.
I have another complaint about that today.
So.
30 cats.
What is he doing about that?
It's Kevin's submitted an order to remedy. Is there anything legally that we can do besides?
Well, we gave him a time limit, right?
Yes, he has a time limit.
Yeah, but it's not Kevin's part for the cats. It's animal control for the cats. And the issue with the cat is there's over 20, 30 cats
in
this garage.
There's 30 cats.
I mean, that's what's that word?
Inhumane.
I mean, can we do something? Animal control? I mean, I get that call every day. The whole neighborhood smells like cat spray. I mean, he's actually hoarding them in the garage. That's unfair to the cats.
On a legal aspect, you have to ask David.
What about the Humane Society?
I think it's going beyond zoning. Maybe there's a health issue with that many animals. Would the animal control officer go over and do an inspection?
He's been over there. He's not happy about the situation.
He gave him a time to get gave him a timeline to get rid of the cats.
I think
my understanding is that he's leaving.
Yep.
And Paul's answer to him was, you better take the cats with you, or it will be criminal if you leave and leave these cats here by themselves.
Well, he's been saying he's leaving for 6 months now.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that either, you know, as far as...
We haven't violated 3 times, but we haven't enforced it at all. So they're just going to continue doing it.
Well, the problem with that, the violation goes to the bank. It doesn't go to the person squatting, you know.
It's still in the owner's name.
Dave, maybe you can...
Yeah, in other words, it's in the process of foreclosure, but it's one of those foreclosures that takes forever, and the bank probably isn't all that enthusiastic.
The letters went to both. The people that own the property and the people that are squatting there.
Do they have any relation to the person who owns the building?
Yeah, they were friends.
Paul only, the understanding years ago when I was on the board is that Paul is limited on what he can do as far as, he can do something with dogs because there's laws.
I'll look at the code.
But there's no laws that he has told me in New York State that has anything to do with cats.
Yeah, this issue's come up a couple of times about feral cats, and we never really moved forward to do anything about it.
If you call Whiskers, there's 3 or 4 organizations that come, they trap them, they will take them away.
Well, Paul's reached out to them.
Are they allowed to go on some private property too?
They did it behind Catherine Rickards. She had all those cats years ago.
Whiskers is the name of it?
Whiskers, and there's several others, and they come and they take them away. They're spayed and neutered, but they have to bring them back. Most of them die out because they're infected, but they can't keep them. But if you call them, maybe they can direct you, because I knew 2 people that did it behind Catherine's.
Okay.
And that's when we asked the village to give a donation, and they couldn't years ago.
But Catherine allowed them on the property, though, right? Is that...
Catherine didn't help it because she was feeding them.
Oh, okay, so...
They came and put up traps, they fed them, they caught them.
But they're not out of the
catch 22.
Legally,
zoning ordinance, our ordinances have a limit of dogs. You can't have more than 4 dogs.
Yeah, I thought it was 2 cats.
So I don't think it's...
I'll give you Amy's. Amy can give you the girl's number. Yeah.
There's no limit on cats. Maybe we should put a limit. I don't know. But be another law change.
Excuse me, but isn't that an animal abuse issue when there are that many? And the Humane Society might step in?
That's a possibility.
Rensselaer County Sheriff has been active in reporting or looking at issues of cruelty to animals, failure to sustain, failure to feed properly. They've tagged horses and dogs that way. I've not heard them doing with cats, but maybe that's something.
Well, cats are animals. ASPCA doesn't discriminate.
But Paul has been in contact with these folks, and he has been in contact with them, and he's looking for places to move them, and to help the guy get him moved out, or get him spayed, or if he's leaving, take him someplace to get, you know, to put them when he's gone so they're not here. So it's a thing in progress, and Paul is talking to people about this. So, and I'm sure he's talking to, you know, maybe not Whiskers, that's the first I've heard of that one, but
there's
other ones that Paul, and I mean, he does this all the time, so I'm sure he has contacts with a lot of these folks, so.
Yeah, I'll follow up with it as well, you know.
There is no ordinance in the village regulating the number of cats.
Multiplying.
Yeah.
No, there's cats.
So.
Yeah, he's just, I think he's, they're just coming, you know.
All right, moving on. Community revitalization.
Okay, we hired a lady to do work for us on behalf of the Main Street Technical Assistance Grant, and she's already got several hours in, took pictures of all the buildings up and down our designated area, and the application is due by July 29th, so we should be all set as far as having our application in. And I believe today we're going to ask for a resolution to approve the application for the technical assistance grant. So it is underway.
Okay.
Anybody?
I have a question about Jen's paperwork here. When I was looking it over, it only shows that the grant's going to be for the old American Legion building.
No, that's just examples. That's just an example.
Okay, so are all the other businesses going to be included into this grant? Because when we came to the meeting, all of us business owners were here. Are we going to all be a part of this as long as you're in the business district? Or?
Well, the core area is from the Stewarts over to Tremont, and then from Zia's to Summers Law Firm. Now, as far as throwing your particular business, and we could try to do that, Miss, but they want us to...
I'm just talking about John Street in general. Aren't they part of the business district? And I don't see them included, so...
Well, here's the thing. You have
now
to pick...
I'm not going to be a part of the...
Well, you have to pick 50%. A particular zone for this grant. There's a particular, you know, and they want smaller the better. So if we extend it, you know, too large, I think it's going to be very difficult to achieve it. So
most of the business owners that came to the meeting weren't willing to put in their 50%, and I was, and now I'm not going to be included in the meeting.
Well, I'm not saying you're not included. I'm saying for right now, that's the target area. We're still meeting with the REDC, so okay. If we can get your business or any other businesses that's not along that corridor, then definitely we'd like to include you as well. So.
I hope so.
But yeah,
you put a lot of money into it. I'm holding on to major projects, so I can get.
All right, well,
50.
Let's see what we can do. We'll get the REDC. We're going to plan a meeting to get the REDC representative out here, and we'll walk through, and you know, we'll point out John Street as well, and see what we can do. Because
okay. Yeah,
I want everybody. If we can get the more businesses that can participate in this, the better. I would love to see the entire village revitalized. You know, and
but the catch is that 50%, and a lot of business owners will not do that, but some of us are going to.
Just so you understand, right now we're going for the technical assistance grant. And what that is, that's a $20,000 grant that does the rendering and gives us, you know, the engineering to design what we want to do. And then from there, it's a $250,000 grant for the actual Main Street grant that can be divided up amongst the businesses, and there's a 50% match on that. So right now we're just trying to get the rendering of what we want to look at, and we're basically using the master plan as our guideline as well. So, you know, that's been very helpful for anybody who's participating in putting that together. So, but yeah, I don't want to exclude you. So, you know, the more businesses.
Well, I was just seeing if this is the same thing we've been working on for the last 2.5 some odd years, because I thought maybe it was something different. I thought we missed the deadline to the other thing, but so
no,
this is the same thing.
It's the same thing. Same thing. But I will, you know, let you know when we have that meeting, and, you know, we'll have you present as well.
Dave, what Jen sent, gave us, so there's a bunch of questions and things. These are the things she's going to be working on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Anything else, Dave?
No, that's it for that.
Yep. Okay, village beautification. You have anything from Kurt or anybody? Have a report?
No.
Okay. Judy, youth.
Okay. I just want to talk about two things tonight. Several weeks ago, Fred McKagg, who's chair of the town youth committee, contacted me and said that only 17 children at that point, a few weeks ago, had signed up for the summer camp. So I checked in today with Sandy Riggs over at the town hall, and she confirmed that they only had 20 signups. And since the town needs to have 70 children attending to make it viable to run the camp is canceled this year. And the reason I am telling you is, if you remember last year, I had people coming up and down all over me, yelling and screaming, why did the village cancel the camp? So in case anybody approaches you, you'll know that the camp was canceled simply because there just weren't enough signups. And it is the town's project, not ours. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the summer reading program at the Nassau Free Library. Kicks off on June 22nd at 6 p.m. If you've never participated, I had your children, grandchildren, whatever, participate. It's a great thing. It's all free. You don't have to be a resident of the village to participate. My grandkids live in Castleton. They don't live anywhere here. And it's very worthwhile. So if you follow the Nassau Free Library's website, you'll see a schedule of all the various workshops that they have going on during the summer. And they have parties and all kinds of fun stuff. Once again, the Village Youth Committee has been invited to the opening ceremony on June 22nd, as I said. And we're going to be making crafts with the kids. We've done that for several years. So next month, I'll be announcing the summer activities for both the village and the town.
We have a report from Nassau 200. They have a beginning bank balance of $80. Merchandise is available for sale at the Village Hall, online at Wicked Smart and at special events. I guess those are websites. Current activity being planned is the block dance on July 21st to be held at Nassau Hose Company number 1 from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The Session Brothers Band will be performing. Nassau vendors will be selling food at the event, and SNS Farm Brewery has their permit. Activities Committee for the Hose Company is providing lighting. They have barriers, and we may need some more from the village, so I'll talk to Jay about that. Attendees are encouraged to bring their chairs, enjoy the festivities. Let her go out July 1st to inform the neighbors of Chatham Street closure. So, and I did talk to the state, so we're all set on our permit to close Chatham Street between Malden and Economy. So, should be a good time. Okay, ZBA. All right, I talked to Kevin earlier in the week, and so ZBA handed down upheld the code enforcement officer's ordered a remedy for the raising of chickens in the village, and that order has been complied with, what I was informed. Planning board, nothing. We did water source, so we did adopt that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zoning review committee, I think I already reported on that. So, old business. We have a resolution to recognize Council 82 as representative for the Nassau Police Department. There's a memo here from Dave Gruenberg, and a resolution. The resolution reads, resolution recognizing Council 82 as the representative of the village police officers for the purposes of collective negotiations. Whereas 9 members of the village police force have designated Council 82 as their representative for collective negotiations, and whereas Council 82 has filed a petition with the New York State Public Employment Relations Board seeking certification as such representative, and whereas it appears that it is in the best interest of the village to recognize this designation and to accept said unit as the negotiating representative for such officers, now therefore be it resolved that the Village of Nassau hereby recognizes Council 82 as the negotiating representative for officers of the village police force.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy. I'll second. Okay, questions or comments? All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
I'll abstain.
I oppose.
Okay, let's go over this.
Okay, 2-4, 2 abstained, 1 opposed. Motion is defeated.
2 abstained. 1 opposed.
So Dave, you'll notify the
Yeah, we were
judge.
A month ago or so, they asked us to, they gave us a 30-day stay period, whatever you want to call it, but I've got a diary to send a letter out the next day or so, because I knew this resolution would be on, and I want to advise them of the result.
Okay, new business. So appointment to Village Advisory Committee on Energy Sustainability.
So I asked Missy to put this on the agenda because if we're going to, we established this advisory committee 2.5 years ago, and we actually never appointed anybody to it. And since we might be considering entering into the NIMAP program, I think we should, I don't know, get some people on that committee. I had one person who asked to be appointed, and I just want to.
Okay, so who was the person?
So I'd make the motion to appoint Lori Clark, who has a long history of employment at NYSERDA. She's got the expertise to be to play an advisory role for the
village. I'll second.
And I think it's a good idea. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Motion by Guy to appoint Lori to the Village Advisory Committee on Energy Sustainability. Seconded by Dave. Any questions on the appointment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion is carried.
One more thing I know.
Yeah.
Summer help.
Yes, summer help. So it has come to my attention by a couple of folks, well, Jay and Pete and Randy, that the village, Jay and Pete have a lot on their plate this summer they're doing, and the keeping up with the mowing and everything is becoming cumbersome, and we're looking to, they want to look to hire a couple of high school kids or college kids to take care of the, you know, the grounds activities and stuff. I mean, we always used to have somebody that did that. We would hire kids every summer, you know, usually two people, and you know, they would do the lawn mowing and clean up the park and all that kind of stuff, and you know, minor maintenance work. They painted the fire hydrants, they, you know, did that kind of stuff. So I'll entertain some discussion on that, because, you know, waiting till next month is kind of going to make it moot.
I'd like to see it, because I know Randy and I have had this conversation this morning, and I think it's a good idea. It encourages the teenagers that live within the village an opportunity to make the village clean and appropriate, and also free up Jay and Peter. I know Jay later on in the summer is going to be on vacation for 3 or 4 weeks. That leaves Peter by himself.
Yeah, he'll be gone for almost the whole month of August.
So, I mean, that's going to present an issue, and I'm hoping that you know, the board can look at utilizing or making arrangements with the town during that time frame to help Peter out, especially in the case of an emergency. But I think at least two people would be beneficial and helpful to Jay and Peter. They've got, like Bob says, they've got a lot on their plate, and if it comes to fruition with the three sections of sidewalks, it's going to be pretty much overwhelming, not only what they have with the water department, but with the sidewalks. So it's I think it's a very good idea, and I'm hoping that we could do something as soon as possible. The kids are out, and hopefully we'll be able to get some kids that want to work. So, I mean, that's got to be the key.
Absolutely.
So, I think that'll be easy.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. So, when I was on the board,
what are we looking to pay
previously, we paid a dollar over minimum wage. That was the rate. I mean, is that
what's acceptable? Minimum wage nowadays?
I have no idea. To Google it.
Google it.
Ask Siri.
It's different for every area, so I think
12,
9:45. My daughter works at Agway, and she's 16, and she makes $11, so it's got to be around there somewhere.
Well, we just
say $10 an hour.
Just say a dollar over minimum wage, and we'll figure out what it is. All right, so
11.75.
11.75 is minimum in the Albany area.
It's going to be 12.75 at the end of this year.
Yeah. So okay. So make a motion. We hire two persons to assist in grounds maintenance and such.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second. And it could be, I would put in there that they can either be male or female.
Yeah, either.
Right. Yeah. Okay. At a rate of 12.75.
Are you going to hire them, Bob, or are you going to go do them?
I'm going to advertise.
Well, add an advertiser this week.
Put it in the advertiser, post it, and wherever.
Collect resumes.
Yep.
I mean, they wouldn't have.
Well, applications.
Applications?
Applications.
Yeah, just put a list of
duties. So Village of Nassau is accepting applications for summer help.
Yeah.
Grounds. Okay.
Job duties upon request.
Okay, so the motion was by Charlie, seconded by Dave. And it's for a dollar over minimum wage.
$12.75
will be the
number. Okay.
How old would they be?
They have to be 16 or older, I believe. Yeah. 16, I think.
Yeah, and you know, well, I think there is a limitation on pouring of gasoline for 18-year-olds, isn't it? I think so.
Right. So you tell them they run a mower, they're going to want to do it. I mean, come on, who doesn't want to run a mower?
All right. Any discussion on that further?
No.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion's carried. Let's talk about
should there be a time limit? I mean, should it end up being the last week of August? Because is it right after Labor Day
they go back?
Most of them go back to college and stuff, so we'll figure out July and August or something.
Yeah. So when you make a time frame, you can put that in also.
And yeah,
to the end of August.
End of August is good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's $10.40.
Oh,
10.40. So it's
10:40.
Yeah. So 11:40.
Let's just dollar over minimum wage. We'll figure it out.
$10 over minimum wage.
We don't get locked into something that we don't want to be. Okay. Let's talk about the speed limit signs over on Westbrook Drive. So, what's your thoughts on that?
Lower the speed limit.
That would require a law change. For the time being, should we take the speed limit signs back down rather than have 30 mile an hour posted over there?
Sean, where do you live?
I think so. 30's
Maple is proper way.
But are we committed to lowering it?
I don't have a problem with that, you know.
I think it should be a 20 mile zone.
Yeah, so I would take them down, but we should lower them as soon as, you know, at the next meeting.
Oh, even, okay.
You know,
well, let's put the public law.
Right, we'll put the public.
You need a public hearing.
For that circle.
Yeah, I mean, I
20.
I would suggest that we lower all of the speed limits within the development. So Tremont Phillips, Westbrook, Maple, John. I'd lower them all down to 20.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Fairview.
In the development.
In the development. Not the main street.
Not 203, not 20, not Elm Street.
Yeah.
Well, my wife.
Yeah, I mean.
I didn't say that.
If you're going faster than that, then you're speeding, you know.
Yeah. You're going to hurt somebody.
You're going to have a list of public hearings.
We got it. Yes, we do.
List of roads.
There's a list of streets and their speed limits in the code.
Yeah.
So we would have to modify that. So we should look at, we'll look at that between now and the next months.
So maybe at the next meeting we can decide on what the particulars are, then we'll do the public hearing after that.
For August?
Yeah.
Okay, and in the meantime we'll just take the signs down.
Yeah. That would be my suggestion.
All right.
Are you going to do anything about the speed on John then, if you do this?
The speed limit on John's already 20.
No, it isn't.
Isn't it?
It's 30.
Just for that school area.
It's 30 from.
I mean, beyond the school. We live beyond the school.
Yes.
Where they go down their face.
I would suggest we do change it. I would suggest we lower it to 20.
Well, yeah, I asked about it last year. You know, we're still looking for the trailer, which I guess. You couldn't tow the sign down there because you don't have a trailer hitch. I mean, you know, if people sort of knew how fast they were going after the school next to Cronin's, well, I call it Cronin's Hanson's, if they looked down and saw the sign there saying you're doing 25, 30, 35, 40, they'd know. We don't need a police officer to sit there. Mm-hmm. If you drag that sign that's here and put it there, people go, oh, I'm going a little bit too fast. You know, it saves an officer, and you'd know how fast you're going.
Well, we're going to look at reducing speed limits. We're going to look at the speed limit issue. So, okay.
I just says, and I agree with Donna. And I was going to bring this up anyways. I noticed last weekend, and within the last couple of weeks, especially on John Street, there are a lot of families walking up and down. There's joggers in the morning, there's joggers in the afternoon, there's joggers at night.
And the rail trail is going to be going there too. So
there's elderly people with their pets going up and down. And I noticed that, you know, that Tom and his people are doing a good job just patrolling. But I do agree, people that come down John Street, there's some issues. People that go up John Street, there's some real issues because as soon as they hit, is it Cozy? They start speeding up to the point where they get to the post office. So
plus we have a gentleman in a wheelchair. He's out all the time.
He's out with his wife all the time. Exactly.
And he should have.
So,
yeah, he should be safe.
But I do commend Tom and your people that they go down and they patrol throughout the village,
the block, yes. Different
times.
But some of those white trucks, when they look down and see how fast we're going and they see the little thing reminding them they're doing 50, you shouldn't be doing 50. Sorry.
Yeah, there's issues on John Street.
Mary. So we'll take a look at that. We'll bring back recommendations at the next meeting for new speed limits for different streets within the village. We'll review that ordinance, and then we'll set a public hearing for August, I guess, right? Yeah. Okay. So here we're on public comment. So let's carry on. Yeah, go ahead, Donna.
This is for the file family. They wondered about their house on Alter Alleyway. Remember there was talk about the road, about the plowing or the conditions of the road?
I've been notified, Jay and Peter, they've been in contact with the town on a proper way of doing it.
Okay.
To regrade it.
Okay, I'll tell
you. So it's in the works, and It's on their agenda to do something.
Road,
no,
okay.
No, it's on their agenda. Missy contacted me, and I contacted
them. Thank you. I'll tell
them. Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
I just have a question about the dog problems that came up under legal issues of
cat problems.
Enforcement. No, Trustee Forte mentioned dog issues.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to know what they were.
Let me get the report.
Let's see here. We had a dog complaint at 157 Chatham Street.
And what kind of complaint was it?
Tom?
Is that gunshots or something?
No, dog.
So I might have to look it up.
And there was one at 6 Phillips Street as well?
Yeah, I have to look them up.
Okay.
Okay, I would like to know what those are because it involves...
If you stay after the meeting, I can run over and check them real quick and pull them up.
And so there were two?
Yes, two.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Yes, Tom?
I just would like to say to the board that I wish that they would reconsider that resolution to voluntarily recognize the
union of the police officers. Failure to do so is going to cause the village the cost to increase, because we're going to have to go to a hearing where, you know, the village attorney is going to have an hourly rate to be present at that, and it's going to have the same outcome. And like I said, this is just voluntary recognition, so that we can move forward. It's going to happen either way, but, you know, I just would like to see the board, you know, show some good faith, especially since how hard the officers work for this village.
Anything else? Okay. Resolution for technical assistance grant. You got, have a resolution for us?
No, I don't have that. I'll have that for next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's not due to the end of July, right?
Right, end of July.
So we could adopt it next month. Yes.
Table.
Okay. Table that till next month, but make sure you have one written up so I can read it. Motion to transfer $12,000 from fund balance to 8010.4 zoning CE. This is for to pay the zoning person that we hired, Nan Strasburg from what, Planning for Better Places. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Rand, second by Guy. Any questions on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Block party. We need a
Lori submitted an application for the block party for,
July 21st.
Okay. And it has been approved by Tom.
Okay.
So I would say we say yes to the block party.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any questions on the block party resolution? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Just going back to the technical assistant grant app, I think from reading Jennifer's notes, it was just authorizing just tonight permission for them to apply for the grant. We need to authorize them to submit the grant. I think that's what she was talking about.
I thought we already did that.
I don't know. It's been a couple years, so I really don't know. I think we have to do it again.
All right. Can we do that then?
That's what
sure.
She was
make
saying, I think, that
right,
we're just authorizing them to apply for it.
Okay. I'll make a motion to authorize to apply for the grant, technical assistance grant.
Get a second?
Second.
Second by Charlie. Let's see, Dave.
And we all have to sign it, too, I believe. All the board members have to sign it, so. If anybody's not going to be at the next meeting, just please, if you could, get in to sign it.
Okay. So I would like to table this until we actually see the application.
Yeah, okay.
That's my opinion.
All right.
So,
well, we already.
Well, there's a motion on the floor, but there's also a
counter motion.
Yeah. How does that work? Not quite sure. This is just a motion to apply for it anyway, right?
Right. But when you click that button, submit, you're obligating the village funds. And if we don't see, to me, it's not responsible to obligate village funds without knowing what we're obligating them for. I'm for the technical assistance grant, but I'd like to see it and be able to read it. And we know from what was submitted by Jen that there's a number of questions that haven't been answered. So.
Still.
Yeah. Well, we just signed her on like 3 weeks ago, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Right,
so.
And so let's let her do her.
So, is it necessary for us to approve this tonight? That's the question.
Missy's saying we should, so
no,
I think we...
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I thought the deadline was coming up, and Jen's
notes
actually.
It's the end of July, though, right? So we could do all this at the next board meeting.
Well, she should have came to the meeting so she could have explained this stuff to us. But it said in here, I read it briefly, but it said she needed a resolution tonight to allow us to apply for it. So I'm not reading the whole packet again. The CFAF stuff.
Yeah, we're not spending any money, guys.
Deadline for application.
You know, doing this resolution.
You're asking us to approve the application, the submission of an application. And I haven't seen the application. I mean, that, you know. Tom just asked me if he could buy another vehicle. Sure, go ahead. I'm just making that.
I didn't actually ask him.
He didn't actually ask.
So you will need a formal board resolution attached to the final application, step one.
Right.
All right, so we don't need a resolution
For tonight, we just need one when we send it, right? So she needs to have the application.
Right, in the resolution.
For us to look at so we can make the resolution, right?
Why don't we have her bring in the application, completed application next month. We'll attach the resolution to it and then you can send it in.
All right, we get one step out of the way, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so are you willing to withdraw your motion for next month?
I'd rather just, now I've made a motion, I think Charlie seconded it. Let's just vote.
All right, any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd rather see the application. I mean, it says right there, we don't need it until we send a resolution, until we send the application. So what's the point of doing it tonight? I mean, it's...
Yes or no?
No.
Guy?
I abstain.
It's up to you, Bob.
Guy abstains. I'll abstain. Let's wait and see.
Right. You know, and I want to bring up, you know, what Tom said. If it's going to cost the village money, and no matter what, you know, it's going to happen, I would change my vote so that it doesn't cost the village money, you know?
Well, can I make a comment? You aren't here, Dave. Okay. Tom, like your department, but I think you sprung this on the board without even any discussion. And I think that's really what the point is here, that, you know, to me, I mean, even your own supervisor didn't know it until the night you, okay, I think it was mishandled. And I think if you had come to the board ahead of time, instead of springing it on, you wouldn't have this kind of, you know, a board that's not on board with it.
Well, we can save that for the next step. This is just a preliminary.
Right, but I mean, I think that is, and my, and me, that wasn't, that was.
Well, I've never done it before, so I don't know.
But you know, here's a guy that's basically in charge of you, and he kind of got the same thing. So I agree. Okay. I'd be willing to change mine too, but I want to be on the record that I just think that it could have been handled a little bit different, okay, and this could have been avoided.
And I think the entire board feels that we were out of the loop on that, right, and caught by surprise. Okay, that's number one. And I think everyone has expressed their opinions about that and their dissatisfaction with the way things went on. And that's fine, and that's everybody's right to do so, and that's that. But the bottom line is that this is going to happen, okay? Because in New York State, the officers have the right to unionize if they vote and choose to do so. Now, we can avoid any more outside interference or anything by just adopting this resolution. Or we can let Dave send a letter to the judge, who will hold another, will convene the per board to have a hearing, and then at the end of the day, they will tell us that.
That's why Randy and I had made the decision that we're gonna go along. We're not happy with the way it was presented, but you know, just to save the village money, if it's gonna cost us no matter what.
So do we want to revisit this resolution?
Yeah, why don't you make a motion to reconsider the vote on the resolution.
I just want to say I didn't feel that it was appropriate to posture in front of the board about talking about unionizing. I wanted to have something that we could actually talk about. And, you know, if we wanted to talk about it, that's fine. I've always said that we could talk about it. But I didn't intend it to be just drop it on you kind of thing. I wanted to actually come to the board with something and not just posture and say that we're thinking about it, we're gonna do it. You know, I came to the board for action.
All right.
Well, it's done now, right? I mean, no matter what, you already.
All right, so we have a motion. We have a motion by Dave to reconsider the resolution to recognize Council 82 as the bargaining unit for the police officers of the Village of Nassau. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Guy. Any further discussion on this? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
So that was a motion to reconsider. Now you should do another motion to approve the resolution.
Okay, so a motion to reconsider. It's back on the table. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the resolution that I previously read. I'm not going to read it again. Recognizing Council 82 as the representative of the village police officers for the purposes of collective negotiations.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Dave. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Abstain.
Motion is carried. Dave, you will forward that decision. Yes. Thank you. All right. So, motion to pay bills number 1 through 24 in the amount of $15,533.27 in the general fund and $490.71 in the water fund and $47,821.68 paid outside of abstract. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions on that? Any of the bills that you all signed tonight? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Randy.
Second.
Second by Charlie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.